They aren't just good. They're the best. But the best just got better. The new WHJE sports team rolls out High School Game Day. Tune in to 91.3 WHJE every game day for a look at the day's matchup. WHJE Sports, taking you to the edge.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, do we have a ball game for you. 24-14 in favor of the Greyhounds here at Ben Davis. Ben Davis has just scored 14 unanswered. And, man, they're barking down that trail again, doing a great job so far. And that drive really starting to open up. Again, the quarterback, Kyle Kastner, has made things happen in the air. It's really been a run game for Ben Davis in their quick drive here. But so far, he's starting to air it out a little bit. Quick screens, things like that, slants. It's really keeping the defense in a world of trouble, I guess you could say.
And any way you slice it here, this is a two-possession game, being down 10 points. But what a comeback coming up here by the Ben Davis Giants and his offense. After they were shut down in the first quarter and a half of play, we started to kind of see them get rolling with that first touchdown and that missed field goal opportunity at the end of the first half. Those last two drives really started to set the tone for this half. And the offense has been rolling on all cylinders. And I think you got to give a lot of credit to that sophomore tailback and Chris Evans. And that offensive line has been giving Kastner time to throw. And when he's had time to throw, he has proved to be pretty lethal with that arm strength. They come back out. We have ourselves a 3rd and 3 at the Carmel 5-yard line for Ben Davis. 12 minutes of game time left to decide the winner. They try to go screen pass. That one's going to be incomplete. Pressure dialed up there. Kendall Hune getting a hand on Kastner as he was trying to let that one go. Incompletion. And now it's 4th down. You have to get a touchdown and a field goal. The order does not matter. Are you going to go for the possible easier points here in the field goal?
I don't think so. I think that... Well, we might actually see them decide against me here. I think they're going to go ahead and bring on that field goal team.
Actually going with some bigger bodies here to try to stack up that line of scrimmage. That looks like Kastner's coming back out. So Kastner's going to be going under center here for the Ben Davis Giants. 4th down and 3 at the 5-yard line. Full house pistol. They give it off to Evans. Evans dances out to the outside trying to make it to the end zone. And he will. Chris Evans, having himself quite a second half here, has just made it 24-20. So 11:50 remaining in the ball game. And like I just mentioned, we have ourselves a ball game, trying to make it a three-point game. We've noticed throughout this entire season how important extra points can be. So trying to make this a three-point game and keep it within a field goal's length, Danny Alvarez will be kicking the extra point. The hold is good. The kick up from Alvarez. And that one will also be good. 21 unanswered from the Ben Davis Giants right now. Carmel holding on to that three-point lead.
Jesse, I don't want to take anything away from that Ben Davis drive because it was a perfect example of an offense firing on all cylinders, taking advantage of their incredible ground game, being able to air it out because of that. But I think there was a play that really defined how this drive was going to end, and it was that pass interference call. Whether you agree with it or not, that's fine. Point is, it's free points. And in the same way, again, we saw Isaac James with a hard count there way back in the first half. And because of those easy yards and that conversion to get another first down without doing anything, he was able to score. So I think what penalties does is not only does it kind of take away the motivation of a defense and kind of hurt your chemistry, but now it gives you an extra edge and opens up your options to be able to make things happen.
That was the 5th touchdown of the season for Chris Evans, a sophomore, now tied with the junior Dorian Tate for the most on the team. Danny Alvarez will be kicking back away to the likes of Austin Roberts and Chris Perkins, both these guys with dynamic speed and explosiveness in the open field. This one is up and away. It's going to stay in play. And that one's actually going to be fumbled, and that looks like Zach Woods was on the return. He muffs that one, and Ben Davis has come up with the football.
No words here. No words here if you are a member of that special teams right there. That's one of those plays that you practice and you practice and you practice so something doesn't happen. But at the same time, mistakes happen. It's just part of the game. It's what it is. And now what defines you as a football player and what defines you as a team is if you can come out after you make a mistake and if you can take a stand. And so that defense right now, they've got to come onto this field and make a stone wall. They have got to fight and fight because you cannot allow Ben Davis to put points on the board. I don't care if it's a field goal or a touchdown. Right now, you have got to get a turnover here. And I have all the faith in that Carmel defense. And I think this is what makes you a 6A ball team.
And I think that's a good point to bring up. You can put a word on it. I think it's deflating. But that's only if you make it deflating on you. As Kastner is going to keep this one off the left tackle. And already we see the sense of urgency from the Carmel defense bring him down behind the line of scrimmage. A loss of three there on first down, second down and 13, a positive.
And I don't think it would be far-fetched to say that the defense plays best under pressure. I think this is a defense who is very seasoned. They're very, very good under that pressure. And so now they're starting to rise to the challenge, you know, even taking a guy like Kastner out in the backfield.
Kastner looks over towards the sideline. He has himself a second and 13 at the Carmel 23-yard line. 11-10 remaining. We have ourselves a three-point game. Kastner takes the snap, has time to throw. Now rolling out to his right, fires over towards that right side. That one almost intercepted there. Looked like Alex Akins, but nonetheless, he has himself a pass breakup. That sets up a third and long. And Alex Akins really proving to be a shutdown corner as a sophomore.
Hey, give credit to Jack Conway. All the way from the secondary, is able to come in on that safety blitz, get into the backfield and really cause Kastner to have some trouble.
Third down and 13 as the crowd really starts to rumble here. Same formation, four wide set, three out to his right. Kastner looks over towards the sideline, has plenty of time, 12 left on the play clock. They bring in Dorian Tate as the lone tailback to his right. From the gun, Kastner will take the snap. He has time to throw, looking over the middle to Boswell. He makes the reception, and Boswell is going to be thrown down with some authority there at about the 2-yard line, but another third down conversion for the Ben Davis Giants. Mitch Davis coming up with the big hit there, saving a touchdown. So first down and goal from the 2-yard line. Ben Davis is knocking on the door, possibly taking the lead. Kastner comes back out onto the field. Huge momentum swing here as he lines up in the full house pistol. Kastner goes up the middle, trying to find Chris Evans. Chris Evans will find himself into the end zone. And just like that, it's 27-24, and Ben Davis has himself the lead.
I'm totally a fan of Chris Evans. He has done such a good job this game, not just making his name known, but playing for his team. Good job of bailing out a very talented quarterback in Kastner. And if anybody knows kind of these headline guys, you talk about Chris Perkins, you talk about Austin Roberts, you talk about John Lampe. These guys always get the spotlight. They get the media attention. But it's the guys like Shakir Pascal who work their way up, who make an impact. And again, as Alvarez tacks on that PAT, which now gives Ben Davis the lead at 28-24. But going back to that point, Chris Evans doing a nice job. He's having to play under Jamie Akin Jr., the senior, obviously the guy who is supposed to make an impact tonight. But Evans is playing very, very well. Again, a sophomore, only a sophomore. You've got him for two more years. He's already making an impact, and people are starting to recognize who he is.
And this is a guy who has over 700 total purpose yards for this offense in both rushing and receiving if you factor in tonight's game. And just like that, 28 unanswered points. And we really haven't seen the Carmel offense have much of a chance here. They've had two drives in this half. So let's see who's going to be back deep to receive this one for the Carmel Greyhounds. With 10:43 remaining in the ball game, they find themselves all of a sudden down four after they had a 24-0 lead. So Alvarez ready to kick this one away from his own 40-yard line. Kickoff will be up and away from Alvarez. This one, a line drive back into the area of Perkins. That one will bounce into the end zone. Automatic touchback. Kind of danced around there on the goal line. Might have had to almost take that one out. The Carmel offense will start at their own 20-yard line. Let's see who comes out to play quarterback.
If you're the Greyhounds here, you're just looking for a jump start. You got to get something that's gonna get that momentum going in your offense. You know, you talk about you getting a rhythm. Like, think about a basketball shooter. When he is able to get into a rhythm and make several shots and get that confidence behind him, he's almost unstoppable. And in the same way, you can translate that same idea here to football. You got to take some shots down the field. You got to get in the rhythm. So whether that's actually having Isaac James throw the slant a little bit, or whether you're bringing out John Lampe, which they are, and he's taking some serious shots down the field, and he's really getting his confidence up, completing some deep passes to Austin Roberts, you're looking for that one play that's going to get that momentum going.
Four wide, shotgun set for Lampe. Three out to his left where they go trips. He's looking over the middle to find his receiver. That's off the hands It looks like a Thomas Baldwin. That one was going to be incomplete. Kind of fluttered up there for a couple seconds. Everyone holding their breath, but incomplete pass. Second and 10 on the way.
Yeah, tough catch there. Not the best pass possible, but you still got to bring that in. He only hit him in the hands. So, again, now trying to get yourself, regain your composure here. You know, you don't feel like you have to just sell out to the run now. It's okay to take some shots down the field, but Lampe, again, in that pistol, he's got to get something going.
Three wide out to his left and one out to his right. Pascal remains in the backfield as the tailback. Still plenty of time left in this ballgame. There's 10:39. There's still plenty of football left to be played here. From the shotgun now as they move Pascal up. He fakes the screen. Now under pressure, he rolls out to the outside. Now he's running with it. And Lampy's going to run to about the 30-yard line. Going to be close to the first down, depending on the spot. And that's going to be enough to move the chains. So we typically see Isaac James. We call him the running quarterback here. But John Lampe making a good decision to just tuck that one and run it to the sideline.
When James has taken the ball 62 times on the ground, Lampe, hey, he's still got some wheels. He's taking it 51. Make that 52, folks. Good run there by John Lampe.
Moving some tailbacks back and around. They go trips to the left and one out to his right. Pascal in the backfield from the pistol. They hand it off to Pascal. He shakes a couple tacklers at the 40. Getting close to the 40-yard line there at about the 37, actually, is where he's going to be spotted down. Shakir Pascal, that's what the Cromwell Greyhound offense likes to see, setting up about a second and four. Lampe trying to hurry this one up, going no huddle at the line of scrimmage. They go same formation this time, again from the pistol. From their own 36-yard line, Lampe hands that one up the middle to Pascal once again. Pascal met the line of scrimmage, but he's going to take the entire line of scrimmage with him a couple more yards. That's going to set up about a third and three. So impressive running here by Pascal sets up a third and short. Actually going to mark it at an official third and about a yard and a half from their own 38-yard line as the forward progress gets him a couple more. Lampe trying to direct this offense once again. They go four wide, but they split the difference on the receivers. Look for Roberts there off the right side in that slot from the pistol there. Pascal remains in the backfield. 9:23 remaining in the ball game. Third down and two as Lampe takes the snap. The handoff up the middle. Pascal tries to hurdle his way across the 40-yard line. Forward progress looks to give him enough for the first down. Credit Shakir Pascal there. Three consecutive rushes. He's able to pick up the 10 yards. So going over a 3-yard average so far on this drive. Pascal gets himself the first down. Clock will stop at 9:15 remaining in the ballgame. Trailing by four. And trailing for the first time tonight, the Cromwell Greyhounds are starting to drive a little bit, knocking on Ben Davis territory. Clock will start here. Their own 41-yard line. Lampe looking over towards that sideline. Four wide set. They split the difference. Pascal will remain in the game as the lone tailback. Off the right hash, they move Roberts now towards that left side. And the handoff once again. Shakir Pascal trying to wrestle his way through. He dances to about the 43-yard line. Gain of two there on first down.
If there is a yards after the extra effort, I think that should totally be a category. Shakir Pascal would be leading the team. Not only does he get hit behind the line of scrimmage, but he's able to break three or four tackles and spin down and keep his legs going while he's falling, able to get 3 yards there. That should have been a loss of two.
That's got to be so frustrating as a defense. You have him wrapped up, you have him right where you want him, but he's able to make a little bit of magic happen there and gain a couple yards on what should be a loss. From the shotgun once again, Lampe looking to pass this time, has time, looking over towards the sideline. Roberts makes a catch after bobbling it. He's going to gain himself about 3 yards, stays in bounds. Third down and five on the way.
I think we need to give an instant replay there for Austin Roberts. A very, very hard catch to make. Obviously thrown behind him while he's in the air, able to stay with that bobble and bring it down.
That's why he is a D1 recruit, folks. Has some excellent hands. Four wide set, three out to his right for Lampe. As he looks over at the sideline, an official third and six from their own 45-yard line. They need to get across midfield to continue this drive. Pascal remains in the backfield, over to his right as the lone back from the shotgun. Lampe takes the snap, looking to pass slant right to Baldridge. We have a penalty flag in that area. Lampe saw that one all the way. There's a penalty marker on the play. Let's see what this one is going to be. The official call. The officials discuss this one a little bit. 7:36 remaining in the ball game. this might just be enough to give the Carmel Greyhounds that first down. Already retreating is that Ben Davis defense. Moving them up a few more yards. That'll be across midfield. And that one will be enough to give him that automatic first down at the Ben Davis 45-yard line. So John Lampe, the Carmel Greyhound offense, will keep the drive alive. Four-wide pistol formation, three out to his right for Lampe. Now in Ben Davis territory, they try to go hard count. No one biting, so he looks over towards the sideline. Clock has stopped at 7:36. Carmel trailing by four. Trying to get a nice drive going here. Lampe takes the snap, looking to pass under pressure. Now takes a huge shot, and that's going to knock him back about 6 or 7 yards. And a huge sack made there by the defense. And Nathan Adams, the senior, on senior night comes up big.
And if you saw Austin Roberts streaking on the left side of the field, Lampe wanted to go to him from the minute that ball was snapped. He's got to swivel his head. He's got to be aware of that, that the pocket's breaking down. He's got to be able to scoot up to the left side of the ball. Took too long looking at Austin Roberts on the left side.
Second and 16, the official spot. They're back in their own territory at their own 49. 7 minutes and counting left in the ball game. Trailing by four, Lampe will take the snap. Has time to throw, looking deep down the left side for Roberts. Roberts is not going to be able to come off of that one, off of his fingertips, and was double-teamed on that one. And Lampe's still able to deliver in that area. A lot of people thinking he was going to come up with that one, but just barely out of his reach. Third and 16 on the way.
Ooh, that's the John Lampe we're used to seeing, though. He's the kind of guy who can put the ball right in the breadbasket there for Austin Roberts. Rare drop there by Roberts, although kind of a hard catch. A guy who's going to UCLA, he's got to be able to come up with those.
So Lampe looking over towards the sideline. Now the clock has stopped at 6:53, but a huge third and 16. And we see this is where John Lampe has made a name for himself late in the game on third and fourth down and long. Four wide set from the shotgun, and we are going to have ourselves a timeout. And that one will be a timeout. Carmel, they have two remaining in the ballgame. So third down and 16, what kind of play are you drawing up here? Are you going sidelines? Are you looking over the middle, John?
You know, honestly, I think you could do a number of things. First off, I think it would be such a surprise to the defense if you came out in a pistol formation here. You know, even bunch up your receivers kind of close to that line. I think you could really do whatever you want to. Obviously, that defense is going to be expecting you to throw the ball, and they're not only going to be expecting you to throw the ball, they want you to throw the ball to Austin Roberts. You've got some weapons. You've got a guy like Jason Baldridge, Colin Pearson, to name off a few, Thomas Baldwin, who's been kind of the equivalent to Austin Roberts out on the far hash. So what I think you can do here is either throw it to Baldwin. You're not going to be expecting him. Maybe run a post route. It's something simple like that. But give Baldwin some space. He's a quick guy, and he's a great route runner. If you get him in open space, I think a nice shot over the middle there from John Lampe, I think you're looking at, honestly, a third down conversion here.
Third and 16. Tall task for the senior quarterback, Lampe. Shotgun formation, four wide set, three out to his right, including Roberts, towards that sideline. Lampe with time to throw, looking over the middle. That one's batted away, and that one will be incomplete. And the defensive line of Ben Davis is coming up before any threat can even be started there. Great job there by Trey Harney. We've been mentioning his name a couple times throughout the night. He's able to bat that one away in a three and out by the Carmel Greyhounds.
Well, Harney's got 24 tackles on the season. Not really known for that guy who's able to make some acrobatic jumps there, but again, he's got two and a half sacks. So he does get into that pocket and disrupt it as a defender. So here's the smart decision here. Punt that ball. See if Adam Kramer can pin Ben Davis back deep.
Still plenty of time left in the ballgame. 6:48 to be exact. Carmel has two timeouts remaining. As Kramer fields this one cleanly, able to get that one off cleanly as well. Fair catch at the 19-yard line. So that's two punts for Kramer inside the 20-yard line, getting the job done once again. Very reliable in that punting game that he's had at starting position for 2 years.
Exactly. About a 45-yard punt, too. Not a bad punt if you're Adam Kramer. And again, following the likes of a guy named Brandon Dirksen was a punter last year. He's gone on to play at actually Anderson University as a punter. But a lot of history when it comes to that special teams for the Greyhounds. Talk about a guy like Billy Stumbo and all the records he's set for Adam Kramer to come in here and do the job he's done. It's very impressive. And not only that, but with the depth that the Greyhounds have.
So 6:42 is the time remaining in the ball game. Kastner comes back out. Four wide shotgun formation, three out to his left. Evans will receive the screen, left side, heads towards the sideline. with the stiff arm, he's going to be pushed out of bounds at about the 22-yard line, about a gain of 3 or 4 yards there on first down. The Crumble Greyhounds are able to push him out of bounds and stop the clock. So anytime they can stop the clock without giving up the first down or using a timeout, very beneficial, giving Lampy or James a lot more time to work with. Four wide, shotgun set again. This time they split the receiver set. Evans remains in the game as a tailback. They try to go hard count, but they run this one up the middle to Evans. Evans is going to be wrapped up at the line of scrimmage. The front seven, the Cromwell Greyhounds neutralizing that threat at the source.
Man, a stop here from that defense on third down is so imperative. The Greyhounds have to get the ball back again. Still, like you said, a lot of time. We're nearing that six-minute mark. 28-24. And this is where you're looking for those guys in the secondary. Jack Conway and Zach Woods to come up big here.
Will be a third down and 5 from their own 24. Kastner taking his time to take the snap. Has time to throw now. He's going to try to run this one, rolling out to his left. Finds his man over towards that left sideline at the 33-yard line. A very impressive catch there. That one looked to be by number 2, Brennan Gillis. We called his name a couple times. That's 2 third down conversions by him.
Again, Gillis has really become the go-to guy for Kastner. They've really kind of lacked that go-to receiver, but Gillis filling that role. And again, the mobility of Kastner on that last throw is incredible.
Four wide shotgun set. They split the receiver set. Look for Boswell and Beatty, who's had a huge game over on that left side. Evans remains in the backfield as a tailback to the left of Kastner. 5.5 and counting. Clock continues to dwindle away. And Kastner takes the snap, looking, finds Boswell at the 45-yard line. He's going to be pushed out of bounds. Looks like by Zach Woods there at the 48-yard line. That'll stop the clock, but another first down for the Ben Davis Giants.
Again, the Greyhounds there running that zone-in coverage. Kastner able to read it and kind of almost aim that ball between pockets of coverage. A good read there from Kastner on the left side, just like you said, Jesse.
But Kastner takes that one, looking up the middle, trying to find his tailback. He does. That's Evans on the carry. Trying to run out the clock a little more right now. 5:16 and counting remaining in the ball game, and we see Ben Davis starting to drive a little bit themselves. Second down and 7 on the way for Ben Davis. Four wide set. They split the difference, putting Boswell in motion now. Takes the snap, dropping back, looks, finds Boswell over the middle once again. He's going to be brought down at the 44-yard line. That's going to be close to the first down. Just looking at it right now, looks to be enough. Clock will stop at 4:52. Boswell a little slow to get up, but gets right back up.
Just take a second to talk about the mechanics of Kastner. I mean, he's so machined in that pocket. Able to get the snap, 1-2, the ball is off, 1-2, ball is off. And I think that rhythm there is something that quarterbacks are lacking. They like to sit in the pocket way too long and try to see a play develop, when in reality, if you're able to play the coverage of Carmel, who's been backed off, and get those quick passes, we're talking, again, that's kind of like what Pascal's done on the ground for the Greyhounds, 5 yards each time.
An impressive release time, I think, is the correct way to put it for Kastner. He's under pressure now, evades a little bit. He's going to be chased down. Penalty flags fly at the 50-yard line. He's going to be brought down behind the line of scrimmage. He's going to lose about 6 yards. We'll see what this penalty, who this one is against. Carmel Faithful here. Looking like it's positive for them. It's going to back up Ben Davis a little bit, depending on this call. They are signaling it is towards Ben Davis, but how many yards? Looks to be a spot of the foul. If that's the case, that's going to back him up to about the 40-yard line, their own 40-yard line now. So this is just what the doctor ordered for the Carmel Greyhound defense, some field to work with. So 4:29 remaining here in the ballgame. Carmel still has 2 timeouts to work with here.
When the flags fly in the collapsing pocket, normally the culprit is, again, that holding call. So 10 yards set back here. Ben Davis has to work. They've got quite a distance to go.
Four wide set for Kastner. Finds Beatty off of a screen. Beatty is going to be brought down at the 45-yard line. So only gaining a few yards on the play. Still have to get all the way up to the 34-yard line of the Carmel Greyhounds. They're at their own 45, second and 27 on the way, but 4 minutes and counting. Clock starting to be the enemy of the Carmel Greyhounds. Kastner looks over towards that sideline. Four wide shotgun set, three out to his right. Kastner trying to take as much time off the clock as he possibly can. They have 10 seconds left on the play clock as we speak. Trying to make it that much harder on the Carmel Greyhounds here. As they go over the middle, they find their man. He's going to be brought down at about the 32-yard line there as he is able to break several more tackles. That one's going to be LJ Gildon on the reception over the middle. Impressive job. That's going to move the chains. And that's a demoralizing feeling right now for the Carmel Greyhound defense.
And you look at Gildon, he's averaging 10 yards a catch. Then let's go to Beattie over here. 13 yards. Evans, 12. Boswell, 14. These guys are first down receivers right here. They're going to throw them the ball, and it's going to be more than 10 yards each time.
This has been a very impressive drive. And the catalyst on this drive has been the quarterback, Kastner, passing all the way through here. Four wide shotgun set. He has three out to his left from the Carmel 30-yard line. 3:09 remaining in the ball game. The handoff goes over the counter to Chris Evans. He's brought down close to the 30-yard line. He's going to lose a yard on that play. Second down and 11 on the way, but the clock continuing to tick here. 2:55 in counting with the Carmel Greyhounds trailing by four. Kastner with little urgency, I guess you could say, to get this playoff. As he comes back out into the shotgun. Still have 18 seconds to work with on this play clock. He's probably going to take most of it up if he can. He has a four wide set, three out to his right. Look for Beattie over on that left side. Second down and 11 on the way. Takes the snap, the sweep over, trying to find Evans. He's almost wrapped up, breaking a couple tackles and getting back to the line of scrimmage. A lot of positive things on that run, but he's actually going to end up losing a yard. So about a third and 11 coming up for the Ben Davis Giants. A big third down coming up for these Carmel Greyhounds. 2:06 and counting. 20 seconds left on that play clock. And Kastner's still over on that sideline. It looks like we're going to have ourselves a timeout here. That one will be called by the Carmel Greyhounds. They will have one remaining. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, the exciting conclusion to this exciting football game here on 91.3 WHJ, the voice of the Carmel Greyhounds.
50 years, WHJE Radio has been your local source for Greyhound football. Join John Perkins and Jesse Smith for the 2013 football season as they bring expert analysis straight to your dial. 91.3 WHJE Carmel.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the voice and the home of the Greyhounds. We're just under 2 minutes here left in the ball game, 24-28. Ben Davis has come back from, again, that 24-0 deficit and has recovered 28 unanswered points. It's been incredibly marvelous. We've seen that offensive of Kyle Kastner come to life. He's worked the air as well as the ground so well. Chris Evans, number 12, has just done a phenomenal job as a rusher, really bailing Kastner out. It's been such a just a treat to see.
We have ourselves a big third down and 10 from the 30-yard line coming up for the Ben Davis Giants offense. Kastner rolling out to his left immediately, trying to find his receiver. That one's up in the air. Would have been a huge turnover, but nobody in the area. And Gildon was the intended receiver off of his hands. But that's a third down stop for the Carmel Greyhounds defense. But Kastner trying to plead his case there, possibly going for it here on 4th and 10 as he's talking it over with his coaching staff. Clock has stopped because of the incompletion at a minute 54. Kastner is going to jog back out there. We got ourselves a 4th down coming up. This could be the game right here for the Carmel Greyhounds. Defense needs to make a stop before they get to 10 yards. Kastner comes out. 4 wide shotgun set. 3 out to his left off that right hash. Rolling out to his left. Pressure coming from the Hounds. Looking deep over the middle. That one's going to be incomplete. And a turnover on downs. And the Carmel Greyhounds still have a pulse.
And that is where that Greyhound pressure comes into play. That is why we haven't been calling guys like Ryan Sondles. We haven't been calling the name of Mitch Lindgren. But if you saw on that last play, they brought the house. That linebacking core that's so deadly was able to put enough pressure on Kastner that all he could do was roll out and threw it off his back foot, overthrew his man. And so now, Jesse, this is a big decision. Who do you choose to captain your team Who do you bring out? And they're going to have to go with the senior here, John Lampe. You know, I think that you can go either way. We saw Isaac James work the ball very, very well in the first half. But John Lampe has not done that poor of a job so far, and he's starting to really warm up.
Lampe will take the snap, and this one's going to be waved off immediately. Whistles everywhere, but no flags on the field. Waiting to see what the call is here. Officials will talk this one over. No play. That one will be set back at the 30-yard line. We will restart this, but John, stop me if you've heard this before. A full field to work with, and less than 2 minutes to go for the Cromer Greyhounds. One timeout for John Lampe. We have a four-wide set. They split the difference on the receivers. Lampe looking to pass, trying to go to that sideline. He finds his man. That's Colin Pearson with a nice reception. He'll gain himself 4 yards there on first down.
Jesse, to tag off of that, it's kind of been the unintentional game plan for this offense this entire season. Again, they work better when they're actually playing from behind. Down only 4 points, and you give John Lampe the ball with a minute 44. And I got to tell you, he just reminds me of a guy named Peyton Manning who was so good under 2 minutes in any situation.
They split the receiver set four wide. Lampe under pressure is going to have to get out of there in a hurry. He's going to be brought down. He'll actually gain about a yard on the play, but third down and about five coming up. Trying to hurry back to that line of scrimmage. The clock continues to tick here. A minute 29 remaining in the ball game. Lampe hurrying up to the line of scrimmage. From the pistol, four wide set. He's actually going to keep this one. Quarterback keeper racing towards the sidelines. Takes a big shot there at the 39-yard line. He's going to be just short of the first down. Fourth and one coming up. Lampe will stay out there on the field. A minute 7 remaining now. From the pistol, four wide set. They split the difference. Lampe takes a snap up the middle. Shakir Pascal's not going to have enough for the first down. And under a minute to go, the Cromwell Greyhounds will turn the ball over on downs. Shakir Pascal just not able to penetrate anywhere. He had three defenders in his face as soon as he received the football. And with only one timeout remaining, things are not looking too bright for the Cromwell Greyhounds.
If I'm the Greyhounds in that position, I got to burn my timeout. I know that sounds crazy, but you've got a fourth down that's going to decide the ball game. You've got to take some time and talk it over with your team. You got to pick the best play in your book right there. And obviously, wishing for the wrong present, wishing for the wrong gift, whatever you want to call it there, that run up the middle was not going to do it. That defense was prepared to meet Shakir Pascal behind the line.
So they're going to take over at the Carmel 38-yard line. 57 seconds remaining, and only one timeout for the Carmel Greyhounds. Trying to break the huddles here. Carmel was driving quite well up until that point, just not able to move the chains there.
Jesse, it's also important to still keep it in mind that 57 seconds is a lot of time for a number of mistakes that could happen. You're talking about, you know, obviously, you're going to have to run the ball here. If you want, I mean, like, it's a fumble. I know it sounds so far-fetched, but anything can happen, and you still have to keep that mindset going on to the field. You can't play defeated until that clock runs out. Then that's your time to walk off and say, you know what, we played a good game, but we just didn't win. But right now, you're still playing football. You're still on the field.
Center to quarterback exchange is never a full guarantee as Kastner receives that one and he takes a knee. See if the Cromwell Greyhounds elect to take that last time out of theirs, but 50 seconds remaining. Doesn't look like they have too much urgency to do so. 44 seconds and counting. The ball has not been set yet, and it will with 40 seconds remaining. And this should do it here, this last knee from Kastner. He's going to wait till the absolute last second he can take this one down. 8 seconds remaining on the play clock, 22 seconds, and there's the knee, and that should do it here from Ben Davis. And a comeback victory for the Ben Davis Giants. They score 28 unanswered points, and they earned themselves a share of the Mick title with the Center Grove Trojans.
Exactly. But folks, remember that this does not define the future of the Greyhounds right here. This does not complete this story that these Greyhounds have had in this football season. In fact, it's just the beginning. Next week, we've got sectionals. Carmel's got to walk in. Hamilton Southeastern, they got to be ready to play ball. And playing a very, very talented team in Ben Davis. You got to give all the credit to not just the quarterback, Kyle Kastner, but I think I'm going to go ahead and give my player of the game. It's got to be Chris Evans. Chris Evans stepping up so big on the ground, really providing that relief, makes some things happen, reminding me a lot of Shakir Baskin.
I'm going to go ahead, and since you have Chris Evans there, I'm going to go with Kyle Kastner. Very impressive job by him. He may not have the stats to show it. He may not have the touchdowns. Well, it came down to it. When they needed him to come up with a big play and come up with a third down conversion, he was able to. He was the catalyst for this offense to come through, be that leader that you needed him to be as a junior. And he helped his team come away with a very impressive comeback victory, 28-24.
And so for WHG, the family, of course, and for Jesse Smith, I'm John Perkins. We're so thankful that you guys decided to tune in and keep your night with us. Again, final score 28-24 in favor of Ben Davis. Both teams played an incredible game, but be sure next Friday to check us out. Again, Hamilton Southeastern Sectional takes on Carmel. It's going to be a great game, but until then, we're going to send it back to the station and hear some tunes, but you're listening to 91.3 WHJE, the voice of the Greyhounds.
All right, Carmel, and it looks like that's all for tonight. Thank you for tuning in to WHJE to support your Carmel Greyhounds at Ben Davis. Have a great rest of your night, and now we're going to turn it back to the music.